Our next speakers will be Alexander Bokovoy and Andreas Schneider, both from Red Hat and both members of the Samba team. They will be talking about free IPA cross-forest trusts.
Hello, my name is Andreas Schneider. This is my colleague Alexander Bokovoy. We both work in the free IPA Samba team at Red Hat. And today we will talk about our work we did at Free IPA and what we did in Samba. But first, I want to do a short announcement. So at Red Hat, currently we have a student. His name is Pavel Bresina, and he wrote a Telog tutorial, and this has been gone upstream on Monday, and you can now read the Telog tutorial at telog.samba.org. Okay, Alexander will start with our talk about what is free IPA.
So I hope the Telog tutorial actually will complement the tutorial that Volker will give later today. And hopefully those two critical parts of Samba infrastructure will be better understood and more usable to all the people. Now back to non-beer based IPA. As people usually joke that we are working on a beer, Indian Pale Ale. It's not that bitter, though it's quite hard to swallow all this stuff, and you will see why. So, Simo did the introduction of free IPA several years ago, I think, at this conference. There was substantial progress over those years, and I'm not going to give the free IPA kind of introduction here, but I would like to show what it's about. It basically tries to cover three big areas in the Linux deployments. That's the centralized identity management, the policy management, and auditing of the resource usage. While the auditing is kind of still coming, the two parts, identity and policy, they are quite well developed. And basically, it's a combination of existing tools and the management framework written in Python and accessible on the command line, plus web UI to easily manage the infrastructure. So we use 389DS directory server, which previously was Netscape directory server. Then Red Hat bought that part of Netscape heritage and liberated it on the GPL and continues actively to develop. It uses also MIT Kerberos KDC server to provide the Kerberos infrastructure. It integrates with the Bind DNS server and also integrates optionally with the certificate authority that's also developed by Red Hat and also available on the GPL. The code name is DocDAC. That together gives you a pretty solid foundation to maintain Linux machines. Now, from the policy perspective, due to use of 389DS directory server, it gives you quite flexible access controls on the server itself, ability to delegate those controls to different groups with quite fair separation of access. And also, we have host-based access control to services on IPA hosts. So you can limit who can log into a certain machine to access a certain service. And also, not mentioned here, but available is the keys management and certificate management, rotating keys, reissuing certificates for services at the time when they about to expire. So maintaining this on multiple machines usually is a headache, but with FreeIPA we kind of try to get rid of the headache part. My Wi-Fi keeps breaking and tries to connect. We just released, I think last week, just released the FreeIPA version 2.2, which gives two big features in addition to what is available already. It's ability to deploy, manage centrally and deploy to clients the SA Linux user maps, so you can make possible the confinement of users on the client side, depending on what client machine is that. And also management of known hosts, as every single host in IPA deployment has associated keys, public keys are stored centrally, then the known hosts kind of catalog for SSH servers on the clients can be maintained centrally as well. So this all is possible when the client runs SSSD daemon that provides kind of integrated access to those features like host-based access controls and these deployments. It is already available in the Fedora Beta 1, which should be available this week. I remember the deadline was Monday, so that the code is almost there. And will be available in the next Red Hat Enterprise Linux release. The current one has the previous version, FreeIPA 2.1. And so basically, this combination of tools and management interfaces gives you fairly solid way to manage Linux-based infrastructure. So it also has means to integrate with the existing Active Directory setups by allowing you to synchronize users and to a certain degree groups between the Active Directory and IPA installation. Though this comes with certain limitations, so you can do synchronization on the changes. So for example, if a user changes certain attributes or password in Active Directory, those changes get propagated to IPA. So when the user logs in into IPA, he gets a password updated to the proper one that he used on the Windows side, for example, and other attributes as well. But there's a limitation that, for example, if password expires, then you would get a certain time period between the time when IPA notices this expiration on those migrated users and when the user actually changes the password. So it might be that it would be able to log in with the old password to the IPA while the password is kind of change it to the on AD side. Or if it's expired on the AD side but not change it yet, he will be able to log in with the old password yet to IPA. So those were limitations in IPA 2.1 and 2.2, and we were looking for the better solution, better integration solution. And as FreeIPA is basically a fully managed Kerberos realm, so that you have all the Kerberos functionality. And technically speaking, you can integrate on the that level with Windows, though you get the traditional kind of Kerberos management. So you have to map principles to your users manually using certain configuration files. You need to get this manual mapping on the Windows side as well, and that has to be done on every single machine where they have to log in. So there's certain overhead in the management for it. And basically, the way how Kerberos mapping is done on either side, it doesn't scale for large enterprises. So if you have thousands of users maintaining a single file or multiple plain text files with those mappings, doomed to fail from the maintenance perspective. So, we were looking at this situation and tried to find out some other approaches and look at how Active Directory does the trusts. And besides that, Active Directory has the Kerberos infrastructure underneath. It also implements a higher level abstraction for those trusts using the Sieves infrastructure. So if we have two Active Directory domains, then they can establish trust between each other through the local security authority remote calls, and they use the same authority to map automatically the incoming identities to seeds, because they know which domain controller is on the other side and how to ask it. And as they have trust on the SIPS level, they have the credentials to access those controllers remotely. So it is kind of automated mapping of the identities that also comes from the property of a seed. The seed itself is just a string with the part that corresponds to the domain and the part within domain. So there's no, they are uniform. So if you store the seeds as a part of your access controls, you don't care where both parts come from. It only important when you start analyzing and applying the access controls themselves. technically, this is boils down to using the Kerberos KDC, then using some CLDAP calls to answer some discovery questions, and obviously LSA RPC. So we had those parts managed. KDC and LDAP and CLDAP part are on the free API side, and SMBD from Samba 3 provides the LSA part as well. So those parts kind of exist. They need to cooperate together. Partially, this was solved in Samba 4 by making LDAP and KDC a part of Samba daemon so that they run in the same kind of integrated way. So in this first stage, we are interested in allowing Active Directory users to access the services on free API side. So for example, SSH with the Kerberos credentials to obtain it on the Active Directory side to our machines. So what was missing? Actually, there were some parts missing, but surprisingly not that much. So first, some PassDB backend for free API was missing the trusts handling. Samba has the trust support, but they need the information about those trusts needs to be stored somewhere. As LDAP server was separate from SMBD, answering questions for CLDAP connectionless CLDAP required changes on the CLDAP, on the LDAP server side. That was achieved with a small plugin, a really small plugin, less than 1,000 lines of C code to answer the basic questions. And a KDC backend that Free API provides that basically talks to this LDAP database was also updated to generate the MS pack structure containing the information about groups and membership. And also we added the support for case insensitive searches in that backend so that it's fairly common in Windows to mistype the case, which is devastating in Kerberos environments and traditional Kerberos environments, where mistyping a case of user basically kills you. It will not be found by the KDC. And also, a configuration tools were created to make the setup easy. And overall, it looks like this. Here's the bigger page available at that URL. And if we look at what happens here, then this blue triangle is the Active Directory domain. Using SIFS calls, it talks to SMBD. And using Kerberos protocol, it talks to KDC. And this green block is actually a free IPA management server running within Apache. So that's a Python code that runs within Apache as a normal Python web application. And it's used to talk with the client, command line tools, and with the UI for users' self-management. Optionally, it can talk to the certificate authority installation is done with the integrated certificate authority. And everything is stored in LDAP. There are 5 to 7 plugins available within that LDAP to cover different aspects of the things that are not supported by the traditional LDAP. And then there is one more bind plugin to integrate the dynamic storage of the zones content in the LDAP and updating those zones. So that's the kind of a bigger picture. And this is basically a textual representation of what I said. So the one thing that Free IPA gets from 389 DS directory server is the multi-master replication, which is a pretty unique feature that you can run multiple IPA installations, order it with different topologies, and replicate and changes to each other. And each server might be allocated with a certain range for UIDs and GIDs and handle only that range. And then replication protocol on the directory server level handles the merging them together, all those records together. And so we extended a bit the PassDB backend or plugin for SMBD that in addition to doing what is usually done there by serving the identities, usernames, groups, seeds, and UIDs, GIDs, it also handles the trust operations. And the trust operation is basically requires also creating a Kerberos principles for the account that the remote domain, Active Directory domain, uses to talk with those credentials to a trusted domain. So the operation comes from outside the Kerberos KDC, and it's a privileged operation, so it needs some raised privileges. At the same time, on the KDC side, we do generate the pack. We actually accept principles and tickets from only those realms or domains that we trust. So we look up what we trust and see whether we can issue the TGTs for those requests and verify and sign the packs coming from Windows side. So, and on the configuration tools, we have utility called IPA, which is the kind of entry point to all IPA command line tools. And we added one tool called Trust, which has certain commands like show trust, list all the trust, show details for specific trust, remove the trust, and obviously create the trust. And creating the trust, we have so far one trust type, that's AD trust, and therefore the command is called the trust-AD-add. So it creates a new trust, and basically the way how it operates utilizes the benefits of free API infrastructure to reduce the amount of information that you have to ask from the user. Usually, if you have the trust configuration, you need to get credentials to your own domain, to the remote domain, so that you establish trust halves on both sides, and some additional information. So we, as we operate with the Kerberos credentials for our own domain, then if you're an administrator, then your Kerberos principal has all needed access checks passed on the server side. So we can simply not ask again for that information because it's available in the ticket. So we can infer that info from the ticket and not put in any kind of additional questions to the user. That simplifies a bit because we only need to ask for the Windows domain credentials. And then the request is sent to FreeIPA via XML RPC to this Python server running within Apache. And there we use modauth curb to get the Kerberos ticket and transform it into something that we use actually in on the server side. And we use so-called S4U to proxy feature of the Kerberos that allows a service to ask for a ticket on behalf of a user. Instead of granting that user access to the certain service, we configure a KDC in a such way that we say that this particular service, like HTTP service on this particular host, can ask on behalf of the user, as if user was doing that operation, a ticket to access SIF's service on the same host. And that gives us kind of a transparent credentials passing and allows us to use Kerberos to talk to Samba and, again, ignore the issue of credentials. Well, not ignore, but actually use different type of credentials there. And then we use Samba for Python bindings to actually talk to LSA pipe and ask for creating trust information and pass all the needed things, pretty much like it's done in the deployment tools of Samba 4 itself. And then we use AD credentials using exactly the same code to talk to Windows side. So they both work. There were some small issues. Apparently, SMBD in Samba 3 was actually ignoring the requirement that the key session key was used for signing the create domain trust request with the how it was 16 byte session key, and it was always trying to decode it with 32 bytes, but the Samba 4 client side was sending it encoded with 16 bytes session key. So things were not working and required some fixes in the Samba 3 code, which is already in upstream. And then if you want to use this system, then you basically need to have a FreeIPA client system configured. The client system is not a desktop. A client system is a server or a desktop. Who cares what is there? But what's important is it's rolled out or deployed using the FreeIPA tools so that the different parts of the software, like a Kerberos and PAM and NSS modules, all configured in specific way. We use SSSD on the client side because that's kind of provides a contemporary replacement for PAM and NSS modules like LDAP, PAM, Kerberos, and so on. And we also configure kerb5.conf to perform mapping of those cross-forest trusted realm principles to use some specific form so that we recognize that those are coming from the trusted domain instead of simply stripping the realm like by default Kerberos does. Now, if you strip the realm, then you get just the username, and you cannot differentiate that username from any other local name username. And that means that you would spend time basically on looking up whether it's local or not. And with this kind of form, for example, like using the UPN form for the username as if it was the principal, we can easily see that it's something special and look up it a special way. So it looks like this. A client talks to the application that logins using its own protocol. If that application supports PAM, then PAM SSSD module is used to get all this information. If the application supports GSS API directly, then it could talk through the GSS API and obtain the result from the KDC on ability to accept that those credentials. But then on NSS level, request comes to SSSD again, and it looks at the username and makes a decision to whom to talk on the IPA side. So it looks like this. If we take the SSH and we check, SSH checks that user exists on the system, taking it from the GSS API, then NSS plugin from SSSD kicks in, takes the request, sees that the user is not local, requests additional free IPA extended operation plugin to do external domain mapping for it using WinBind. The benefit here is that that WinBind runs centrally on the free IPA server install. You don't need to run them on the clients. And then the mapping is returned to the client side, and the user looks like a local one, and the application happily logins it. And for the rest of it, SSSD uses the pack information to actually get all the additional groups filled in the structures. And that is how it works from the free IPA perspective. However, it required certain changes on the Samba side to get that part of the domain join and then requests, not domain join, the trust establishment and the other requests working on Samba, and that's what Andreas will cover.
Thanks. Okay. Yeah, to get all this stuff working, we had to do a lot of changes on Samba and add infrastructure for it. And I want to show you or give you an overview what we did in the last year or 1.5 years to get this working. Yeah, as you can see, we did quite some stuff, and then I will want to tell you what we actually did so that you understand it. Yeah, so all of this results more or less in the end in this picture, and in the middle you see a Samba, and that's here you can see what extensions we did, but we will go into it in detail. So it all started more or less with a spooless S rewrite we did. We knew that we need new infrastructure, and we needed ways to test this infrastructure, and so we decided to start with already existing stuff which needs to be rewritten or improved, and use this to test the infrastructure which we implemented step by step. So the first thing was to use the WinRec RPC functions to store spool.ss information about printers, drivers, etc. In the actual registry before it was spread over several TDBs, and we faked the registry access to it. And with this step, we started to use a feature we have in Samba, so we can create an internal RPC connection which takes a shortcut. So if you call, if you open an internal RPC pipe and establish or do a RPC call on a binding handle there, then it directly goes or calls into the code inside of Samba, so there is nothing going over the wire. And this code is we have an internal shortcut and also a special external way to establish connections. This external way is a so-called named pipe proxy, and we started with this to use this infrastructure and get a feeling about it. So the next step after the rewrite was done, we knew that we need a daemon which is forked from SMBD, and here it was again a spool.ss that we took to test this stuff. So we decided to make a spool.ss daemon, and the plan was, or the plan is still, that maybe one day we have an spool.ss daemon running on our own, and that you can build somebody without the spool.ss daemon. Like if you are a NES vendor, you don't want to have spool.ss compiled in, so you can compile it out, and we thought that we can start with the first steps, and it will be a long way, but why not? However, for the spool.ss daemon, it was important that you still can access this over named pipes. And for the Frankie setup, Volker created something which is called named pipe proxy. So, and I think you and Metze did this work. And this was the right way to talk to the daemon. So we used this infrastructure, and this was the first time we had something where we can test it. So we also set it up in make test and started really to test it on a daily basis and improved it, what was in there. So there were some bugs, and we also had problems with authentication. And Andrew Bartlett rewrote the auth code and simplified it and merged it with that we have common auth code in Samba 4 and Samba 3. So he helped to fix several bugs we had with this name pipe proxy and user detection. So this was really great, and we were happy that several people helped here to fix this stuff. We knew that the spool.ss daemon didn't scale because it was only every connection was going to one process, so every spool.ss connection was processed by one daemon, and we knew that this didn't scale, but it was great for just testing this infrastructure. So after we had the spool.ss daemon and the named pipe proxy was working, so the named pipe proxy is a special Unix socket, and SMBD just accepts the named pipe connection and then it forwards it over a Unix socket, and the daemon who is listening to it then serves the socket. So it's pretty easy, and the authentication is done by the servers who is handling the named pipe in the end. So here, spool.ss, so the connection comes in, SMBD just forwards it, and spool.ss does the authentication of the user and then handles the spool.ss calls. After this was working pretty well, so we knew that Thanks. We knew that we need TCP/IP support inside of SMBD, but it wasn't possible at that time. And for TCP/IP support for RPC, you need an endpoint mapper. An endpoint mapper is a simple port mapper daemon. So you have, for example, a service running like Spool.S, and you want to connect to it over TCP/IP, then a connect Windows, for example, asks the endpoint mapper, hey, on which port is Spool.S running, and then the endpoint mapper tells it which port it is, and then you can connect and start the communication. The first implementation of the endpoint mapper just supported name pipes, but it was working, and this was just for demonstration that it works, and after that we started to add more and more infrastructure. So I gave a talk last year about Samba, about the endpoint mapper daemon. So if you are interested in this stuff, then you can look at my talk from last year. So for TCP/IP support, we added we had to pimp our RPC server to add it actually. And we also added NCAL RPC, so local RCP support using Unix sockets, which is also available on Windows. And we added a special root mode for privileged operations in this over NCA, over local RPC. And this is used that you can register services at the endpoint mapper over this local RPC pipe. And this registration of these services is only allowed as the root user over this pipe. So also external processes would be able to add their endpoints to the endpoint mapper using this special pipe. So now we had TCP/IP support for the endpoint mapper too, and it was working just fine. And we started to do more testing on it, wrote test cases, and then the next step was to create a daemon which listens also on TCP/IP connections. This daemon we called LSA service daemon, and to be able to scale, you need to each connection which comes in needs to be handled by one process, and for this we needed a new model. So at the moment, SMBD works this way: that when a connection comes in, it forks a daemon, and this daemon handles connections then. With TCP/IP, this wasn't working, so we needed a new way, and this was a preforked library. So we did some research, and first we created the preforked library using a mutex around an accept call. So we had a really thin daemon which forks out several childs, at the moment 5 of them, and these get initialized and then waiting for connections. And first we had a mutex, and when a connection was coming in, then one client got the mutex and accepted the call and handled the connection. This didn't work, so we had several problems, and then we discovered, okay, we can't use this mutex, removed it again, and raised on accept. So when a connection comes in, all clients try to catch the connection, and one of them wins. So this was just experience which we gained over time and improved the code. So all this stuff is at the moment already available. So the Spool.S daemon is a preforked daemon which has several advantages. So we had problems we had a lot of printers configured on a server, and we started up, then it took some time to initialize this printer. And if a connection comes in and you fork the process and need to initialize these printers, it takes some time, and it stalled the connection. Though with a pre-forked model, we fork a process, initialize all the printers, and then we just wait for the connection. So this delay isn't happening again. The next step was spoolless daemon, and in the end we created a so-called LSA service daemon, which is a pre-forked daemon, handles TCP IP name pipes and NCA local RPC connections, and this daemon just provides LSA, SAMR, and net logon services. And these services are required to set up the trust. So everything else which is provided by Samba, we don't need in free IPA to set up the trust with the ID, with the Active Directory service. So we all packed this in a small daemon to provide these services, and this is the LSA service daemon. And if you look at this picture again, you can see SMBD is handling named piped connections, proxies it if necessary to netlog on LSAPC, LSARPC or SAMR, or AD can directly talk to it over TCP IP and the endpoint mapper. And this all was just created for this picture. And the great stuff is that all this work we did and this name pipe proxy stuff and testing, so this name pipe proxy stuff is now used in Samba 4 to talk to the SMBD file server. And I hope that we can continue our efforts to improve this infrastructure, and Samba and Samba, especially Samba 4, benefits in the future too from it.
Yeah, so in fact, after doing this infrastructure, all we need to accomplish the trust with AD is the endpoint mapper and LSA daemon, because the Windows talks over endpoint mapper to it. And we did it, and plus the client libraries from Samba 4, because they have Python bindings. And the way we use those client libraries, they appear in the MIT Kerberos environment that runs within our Apache server. So the libraries were developed with the perspective of the Heimdall Kerberos implementation, because that was what Samba 4 used for several years. And mixing two implementations in a single process leads to crashes and stuff like that. So we put the effort for past 4 months to get rid of the mixture, so being able to have a target that you compile against MIT Kerberos, and there is no conflicts in that particular target. And we achieved it this week, and I almost had the demo with MIT Kerberos for all this infrastructure running this morning, but there's a bug in the Git master with set groups crashing somehow, which is unrelated to these changes, and we need to investigate it. And therefore, I have a demo where all this stuff runs with SMBD compiled against Heimdall. So by chance, it doesn't crash in my setup, but it doesn't work with S4U to proxy feature enabled. So I have to disable the constraint delegation in Kerberos to get the things working. So here, this is a VM that has IPA is installed and trust configured against the Windows. So I have to submit always these delegate option right now to disable the constraint delegation. It's kind of counterintuitive option name, but nevertheless. And it IPA has two users here, and both of them have Kerberos keys available, so you can log in through the Kerberos to them. And in this One of those users, I basically have mapping from two different domains. So I can log in using the admin from my IPA realm and from the Windows to that system. And if I look at the trust information, I can see that there's some, we have a two-way trust against the Active Directory set up so that Samba sees that those logins come into Samba from Windows. They are foreign, but they are respected on our side, and therefore they can be served and not denied. And now on the Windows side, I have administrator that has some keys. Let me purge the keys there. So no Kerberos keys here. Now I will take a PuTTY terminal and try to connect to IPA using the Kerberos. That's a login. So right now, as we didn't yet put in use the infrastructure that automatically maps those foreign principles to local users, you have to enter the username of the local user that you want to use. So I will use my own user, and I log in using credentials of the Active Directory domain here. So we can verify it on our side that I'm using the AD domain administrator. So I'm, in fact, now an identity coming from foreign domain. So the trust is working, and cross-forest trust, because they don't belong to the same forest. Now, using this identity, I can, again, go back to Windows machine that I came from, hopefully I will get there. Not sure what happens. But if I look at the list of tickets here, then you can see that I have a ticket for host, this last ticket, the host M17 IPA local at IPA local server. So I got the ticket from the other domain to access the service from the other domain. Yeah, the DEMA effect is that I somehow can't get into the Windows logging in back with my credentials. Don't know why. It does not work. That's something that can be ignored right now because I'm running as unprivileged user, and I have the SMBD .conf, the global one that mentions register. If I use empty smbd.conf, obviously you don't get the those errors there at all. And they are totally...
So you don't need the config?
Yeah, I don't need the config. What I can do actually, I have a config file, right? I can use the config file which I specially supply with IPA exactly for the purpose of ignoring the registry when I run from the Apache, where I'm also non-privileged. So I just use that one, and also because Samba 4 client, the params library, doesn't know about the registry. It doesn't use it, so it gets confused about it. Well, something wrong I did, but anyway. So the point is that I can log in from the Windows side to the Linux machine using Kerberos credentials, and that comes through the trust established using Samba. Hopefully all this comes to GitMaster sooner or later over summer, and we hope, at least our target is to get this into the shape that you can deploy it with a single or two comments on the Linux side in Fedora 18, which is what autumn this year. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there any question, comment on this demo, on the talk? Well then, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.